God's grace and peace with you. You may be seated. And we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I've already indicated, today we celebrate Epiphany Sunday in the church year. The Epiphany of our Lord. That word Epiphany, the name for this day, comes from a Greek word that is roughly translated as meaning making something known or revealing something. Today on Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the revelation, the making known, if you will, of two messages. One message is that Christ is King. This baby, Jesus, is King. He is our King. And also, he is the one who has come to save not only the people of Israel, but also the people of the entire world. See if I can get this to work today. Oh, I am cursed. Okay, what am I doing wrong here? Ah, Epiphany of our Lord, yes. That's what the wise men make known today. So who were these wise men? Well, here I may shatter some preconceptions that you have, because we really don't know very much about these wise men. We don't know their names. They've been given names in TV movies and the like. We don't really know for sure that there were three of them. And we don't know where they came from, just that they came from someplace out in the east. Maybe they came from Babylon, maybe some other place in Persia, maybe from southeastern Arabia. We don't know for sure. But we have met wise men before in Scripture. Most recently in Daniel chapter 2. There at the court of King Nebuchadnezzar, there were wise men. They were magicians and astrologers. They were the people that King Nebuchadnezzar asked to interpret his dreams, except that they could not. And now, about 500 years later, we meet wise men again. These wise men were coming to Jerusalem. They had traveled perhaps 800 miles or more on their camels or horses. They had traveled trusting in a word given them about a promised king of the Jews. One question we should ask is, who gave them this word? Who told them about this king? Maybe it was Daniel. Maybe it was some other Jews that were living in Babylon in the time of the exile, and the word had passed down. I believe these wise men certainly knew the Old Testament prophecies, like the one we just read in Isaiah 60 about the light of the Lord dawning on the people in darkness. And they most certainly knew the prophecy of the star foretold in Numbers chapter 24. They recognized that star when it rose in the sky in the east. God used a star. God used the light of a star to tell them that the long-promised king had been born. Now, some people, and perhaps you've heard this, some people try to explain the star away. They say it was a once-in-a-lifetime, or perhaps once-in-all-history, alignment of planets in just a certain way. Other people say it was a comet, or a meteor, some other heavenly body. We can really only say what the Bible says. It was a star, and it guided the wise men from the east to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem, and then finally it stopped over the house where Jesus was. Even the stars will do the Lord's bidding. So the wise men came to Bethlehem, trusting that the king had been born. But more than that, they came to honor this king. They came to worship this king. Verse 11 in the reading, did you notice? It says when they came into the house, They were so overjoyed, they fell down and worshiped the Christ child. They revered him. They worshiped him. They knew him as the promised king from God. And they also knew him as one who is worthy of worship. Now, it was a custom in those days to honor important people by giving them gifts. Today, too. These wise men had gifts to give to Jesus. Gold, always a fitting gift for a king. There's nothing wrong with gold. Frankincense, which is most often used on the altar along with the sacrifice of a lamb. And myrrh, a spice that is often used in burials in Jewish days. In their way, these gifts foretold who Jesus was and what would happen. Okay? The wise men worshiped and honored him as king, but he was a king that came to be a sacrifice. He was a king that came to die. You and I, too, today, are called to recognize this baby as our king, but also to know that he is the necessary sacrifice for all of our sins. King Herod, the ruler of Jerusalem and Judea, was not a Jew. He was a Roman government appointee. But he knew what the Jews believed, and he knew that they were waiting for a Messiah king. So when he heard about this new king, who had been born, he got real worried because he saw this king as a threat to his kingship, as a threat to his power and position. So he went right away to the chief priests and the scribes, the teachers of law, to ask about it, and I'm sure it only took them a second or two to answer. This king is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. This Bethlehem baby was no ordinary baby. He is our king. God spoke about him in all the Old Testament through the prophet Micah. That's what the wise men, or the prophets, I'll get it right, the chief priest told King Herod. In the Old Testament books of 2 Samuel and Ezekiel, God spoke of this baby, the promised one, as one who would be a ruler, as one who would be a shepherd of Israel. Now, the synonym for ruler and shepherd is, of course, king. And we learn that in Isaiah 53, Isaiah writes that on this one, on this promised one, would fall all the sins and all the punishment of the people. All your sins and my sins fell on this baby. And it is because of this baby that we are ultimately declared right with God. We are declared not guilty. We are declared forgiven. It's no wonder that Paul in the New Testament wrote to Timothy and said, the way to salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first and greatest epiphany revelation is that Jesus, this newborn baby, is king. He is our king. He is king for us. He is for us self-centered people. We so often want to go our own way. We so often want to act as our own gods. We so often want to do our own thing regardless. He is still our king. He is our king for us who so many times want to ignore what God says, what his word says, and we want to go after worldly attractions and worldly pleasures. He is still our king. It is for us sinners that Jesus Christ came down to earth. It is for us sinners that Jesus Christ set aside his divine nature. It is for us sinners that Jesus, God's Son, took on human flesh and blood. It is for us sinners that the eternal Word of God, Jesus, who created all things and all the earth, came down to earth, gave up his place in heaven, and took on earthly hunger and cold and loneliness and sorrow, and finally, the worst of pain. It is for us sinners that he came down and walked in our shoes and carried our burdens and our fears and our doubts and our sins and all our struggles, and then he died the death that each one of us deserve. All this for us sinners, so that we could be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Now in today's reading from Ephesians, St. Paul takes us to the next step. He writes, "In Christ and through Christ, we may now approach God with freedom and with confidence." This is our second Epiphany revelation. In Christ, we can approach God. We need not fear God. We can come to him now with all our requests, all our needs, all our fears. We can come to God with freedom and with confidence. We need not fear God, but we can call on him confidently. Confidently that he will hear us. He will answer us. He will love us. He will care for us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we may live lives that praise and glorify God and point others to what God has done for us. Our Epiphany revelation is that in Christ and through Christ, we may freely love and care for others. Even those who don't look like us or think like us or dress like us or act like us or have the same opinions as us, we may freely love and care for them too. Our Epiphany revelation is that in Christ and through Christ, we can now boldly and willingly talk of Christ to others, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to all others. Indeed, we are now called to boldly and confidently and willingly, joyfully talk to others about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has come for us and has come for them also. We are called to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, revealed to be our Savior, and yes, revealed to be their Savior also. Now, we may never fully understand. We may never fully understand how this star worked, how it moved, how it guided the wise men on their journey. It was definitely a miracle. But the star that pointed these men to Jesus still points us to Jesus today. The star reveals for us Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The star reveals to us God's plan for our salvation. It is in this baby Christ. God's plan for our rescue from sin, from death, and from the devil. The star reveals to us that Jesus is indeed what was said earlier in the book of Matthew. Jesus is our Emmanuel. Jesus is God who is with us. And today, too, Jesus is still Emmanuel for you and me today. He is with us, ready to strengthen us when we are weak. He is with us, ready to assure us when we doubt. He is with us, ready to forgive us when we turn to Him. He is with us, ready to give us new life and eternal life when we call on Him. Christ is here today, Emmanuel, God with us. Go today with the love, the peace, the forgiveness, the assurance that is yours in the Epiphany revelation of our Lord. He is our King, and He is our Emmanuel. God is with us in Christ, our Lord and King. In His name, amen.